All right, we're teaching on the topic of living in the supernatural. And today's message is entitled, One Thing is Needful. One thing is needful. We're in a season of the supernatural for the church. And Jesus came to reintroduce the kingdom or the supernatural lifestyle. Now, I'm not talking about supernatural as an event. I'm talking about supernatural as a way to live. And the church are the ones who could live in that, what I call dimension, because we've pretty much been one dimensional and it's been all about denominations. But now we're going to be more than one dimensional, having another dimension that we can rise to, and it's going to be about the kingdom of God, which is the government of God. So as Jesus came, he came to reintroduce the kingdom and bring the earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership. Now that's you and I. We're the rightful owners of this land. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to look at it like that, but the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 16, it talks about that we have inherited the world, that this earth that we're in right now is a part of our inheritance. And he calls us in verse 13, Romans 4, 13, calls us heirs of the world. Well, an heir is somebody who inherited something. So you and I have inherited something. Now, as we look at this vast inheritance, we're going to find that we're going to need something to receive this that God has imparted to us once we got born again and became his children. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the what? Curse of the law, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How? Through faith. So it's going to take some faith to receive what God has. And you'll find that a lot of people in churches, they don't too much want to live by faith. Matter of fact, some of them don't even want to hear anything about faith. Oh, that's one of those faith preachers. Well, let me give you some good news. You're going to have to live that way. Matter of fact, you've been designed to live by faith. You are designed, glory to God, to live by faith. In other words, if you're not functioning by faith, you're malfunctioning. So it's time that you learn something about faith. Now, what's happening? The enemy knows that the way you got to receive this is by faith. And he tries to get you away from faith because faith is the only thing that can overcome him. Now, we still talk about living in the supernatural, and this topic today is one thing is needful. So let's look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted of the devil. The Bible says in Matthew 4, the tempter came. Satan is called the tempter. There used to be a song we used to sing down at the church called Yield Not to Temptation. You sing it, I believe, every Sunday. And look at verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now that's temptation. If it wasn't a temptation, God wouldn't have put it in there. You're tempting him. What is he saying? Don't use your faith. I give you this. You don't even need to use any faith for this. It's just here, take this. Come on, don't use any faith. See, if the enemy can get us away from faith and get us not to use our faith, then pretty soon faith, which is like a muscle, will begin to atrophy. It'll begin to get weak. And now one day he starts breaking in the front door. And because the faith is weak, we sitting up there eating popcorn, watching as the world yearns. Now he breaks in the door and try to put something on you, and no faith to resist it. Got it? Because we've been feeding off of TV instead of feeding off the Word of God. And there's no faith to resist him. The next thing you know, boom, put something on you, you know, and so you're going to have to call somebody or something to get it off. Say amen to that. So when you come in here and I tell you we're going to give to go down to Africa or India or wherever we go, and we'd like everybody to participate in it and so forth, I'm not trying to get you to do something to get your money. What I'm after really is your faith. And you'll be surprised how many people try to go places they don't have to use 1 ounce of faith. And folks, for you to be in a place where you have to use no faith is the worst place a believer can go. You are asking for trouble. Because if God has called you to do something, you're going to need faith to do it. You have got an enemy out here that hates you and what you stand for. And God is calling you to destinies. And somehow people try to go places and not use their faith. Folks, let me tell you that to be in the Spirit is the safest place you can be. He told me that years ago. I'm just saying, you don't try to run from your faith. David said, hey, wait a minute. He said, Goliath, he told Saul, let me have him. Let me have him. He said, listen, I slayed a lion and I killed a bear, and I know I can take this big guy. He moved and Goliath said something to him, and then he came back to Goliath. He said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. And I'm gonna slay you, and then I'm gonna cut your head off. Now, to just slay the guy is enough. But he's gonna cut his head off, because the head represents the strong man. I'm gonna cut off the strong man who's been sending demons in there to harass you. I'm gonna cut him off, because they're drawing their power from him. Notice, when they slayed Goliath, what happened to all the other Philistines? They ran. When you slayed a strong man, all the demons that have been harassing you, they're gonna go. That's a principle, folks. See, if you didn't slay the strong man, he keeps sicking them on you. He said, okay, Tommy demon, you go get him next. And then Tommy get beat up. Hey, Roy, go get him next. Go get him. And you just get harassed all the time. But if you can go back there and get that strong man, every other demon will leave, because they're drawing their strength from the strong man. Boy, that's good preaching right there. All right, so what's next? So what do we have to do in the supernatural? The supernatural takes faith, and it also takes righteousness or sonship. That sonship, we said, is a foundation for the supernatural happening in your life. That you got to be in partnership with God. That God and you are working together. Say amen to that. Amen. And when that happens, nothing is too hard for God. Am I right about it? There is nothing too hard for him. So, as we continued in our teaching on the last time, I would like to come back to that place because I want to get as much juice out of this teaching as I can, this specific part of the teaching. What we said is that this faith is necessary, and it's necessary for the supernatural, and that you stay in faith. That you get in faith, but stay there in faith. Because you don't play nine-inning games. You play till you win. All right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 47, please. Genesis chapter 47. Glory to God. Genesis 47. Now, this is when Jacob is now being brought down to Egypt by his son, Joseph. Joseph, as you know, has been raised up. He's raised up as a ruler over the world because Egypt now really is a world power. And Egypt now has provision that nobody else has because Joseph, who's blessed, is in Egypt. And so all the nations are coming to Egypt to get provision. Glory to God. And Joseph, we said, is that he was up with his brothers, but that setting was too small for him. That he was really an international figure in a tribal setting. In other words, he was too much fish for his tank. There is a fish that they tell me you can put in a little fish bowl and he'll be about an inch long. And then they tell me you can take him and transfer him to a bigger aquarium and he'll grow to about 5 or 6 inches. And then you can put him in a huge environment and he'll grow over 2 feet. Now, isn't it interesting? Some folk trying to stay around in little places. Let me tell you. Pastor, we don't know whether we like this church. We like a small church. Hold on, hold on. Small churches are for small people. Now, wait a minute. I'm not coming against nobody. I'm not coming against nobody. I'm not coming against nobody. I'm only saying that you will find people with big ideas have no problem with big churches. I better come over here and say that because I think somebody didn't get it. They had no problem with it. But see, when you want to be seen all the time, come on. You want everybody to like your solo. Come on. I don't care if you get mad at me now. I asked you, did you want to hear the truth? Didn't I ask you that? There are people that small places are too small for the anointing and the destiny God has for their lives. They need room. And you should need room. Say amen to that. Me and somebody were talking the other day about going into Canaan. And Canaan, you know, not only represents the best of God, but it's a promise of God. But Canaan also represents the best, praise God. It represents this destiny that God has for us. Yes, yes. And Canaan was occupied. Say occupied. Occupied. That's one of the things that the 12 spies came back and said, that the land is there. And look at the fruit of this land. Now grapes were as big as what? Grapefruits. That's how lavish that land was. Now notice, God said, I've given you that land. Now the first thing you want to tell God is somebody's living on it. I said, I have given you that land. And I've got folk who prepared it for your occupation. See, I'm going to stop trying to question God. I'm not wishing anything bad on anybody, but the best. Well, let me just say this, because I can tell some people fighting back on me. I can tell you. See, you think I'm talking about things. I'm talking about the promise. I'm talking about fulfilling the destiny God has for your life. I don't care what it is. His destiny for you is healing. I'm not coming down on you because you're sick. I'm saying there's a better place you're supposed to go. Now, it was giants in that land. Do you realize how big the bed was that kept some of those Canaanites that they had to sleep in? Now, it's all in the Bible. Anybody got any guessing? 18 feet. Them boys were pretty good sized boys. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, think about it. They stood so tall. Now, how could they have a little doorway that they got to get down? They didn't build any house like that. They built a house they could just walk in. Well, to do that, it's going to have to be a big door. How about the bathroom? I'm telling you what you've just inherited. Man, see y'all tripping now. I am not wishing bad on anybody. I'm telling you that God has reserved the best for you. All right, let me just fix off where I was. I see right now we got some. I don't want to get no haters up in here. Folks, there are no houses in heaven. There are only mansions. All right, let me just start where I am. See, one day we're going to get this. One day we're going to get to, you're going to have people bold enough like me to preach it. Do you know preachers don't like me and don't know why? They sure don't, okay. They don't know why. Listen, I don't do anything to them. But the devil's trying to shut me down. He's trying to make it so that they don't like me, so me come down so I can associate with them. I ain't doing it. Y'all just got the hate. I'm not doing it. I didn't get this right there, what you're sitting in. We didn't get this by coming down to where some people wanted us to come so that we can stay in something about, you know. No. I'm not going to stop until we reclaim what Jesus redeemed. All right, now where was I? I'm talking about. See, let me tell you what he's got in you. God has genius in you. Every one of you. He don't have any spiritual defects. He has genius in you. He's got something in you that's so unique, nobody can do what you can do. Like you can do it. That's the enemy that doesn't want me telling you that. Because one day you're going to rise up. And say, give me my stuff. I told you, once you get a revelation, it's going to make you a revolutionary. That's what it's all about, folks. I'm telling you, when I came into understanding what belongs to me, I didn't care what nobody said about me. Not anybody. See, here's the deal, and I'm going to get back to our subject. For faith to work, God has to not only be your source, but your only source. And with some people, God is not their only source. See? You got what I'm saying? But see, if he's your only source, then you're not concerned about anything but pleasing God. Those religious people hated Jesus. Why? Because he was setting the captives free. Now listen, they weren't to blame. In other words, they were just being used. It was the devil who hated Jesus. And I know it, so I don't get mad at anybody. I just so sorry. But why do you get mad at me? I don't know. Why get mad at me? I mean, what did I do to you? Really, really, what did I do? If you're looking at it on TV and you don't like it, turn it off, turn it something out. See, I'm not trying to win some popularity thing. They say, ooh, look at Bill Witt. No, I'm not trying to win that. I've won that. What I'm doing now, see, I am performing for an audience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sitting there now watching what I do. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be concerned about what somebody thinks about you. And many people have been used. You've been tossed to and fro right now because you're so concerned about what others, you've set up your self-esteem on what somebody said about you. My self-esteem ain't based on that. Ain't based on it. You can call me names. Call me, you know, whatever. Just don't call me late for dinner. I know that's it. It doesn't make any difference. But see, you trying to perform, trying to let people see you, trying to let so forth. Ooh, how great he is. Ooh, look at him. Blah, blah, blah. See, you've been manipulated. Come on, you got to watch that. Because that will hold you back. That means your trust is not in God. You're trusting in man. And the Bible says, cursed is a man who trusts in man. I love you, but you're not my source. Really? So I'm just saying, you know, the way I act, don't trip with it. My point to you is what you're seeing here, I'm not an Ahab. I'm not a wimp preacher. Boy, I got to take time with this. I don't have no Jezebel running me. Boy, I see right now I done got all the way off. I don't have no Jezebel running me. No. You ain't going to find that here. And every now and then, one try to come up and tell me, you know how to run the church. See, buy from people who got proof. I want to know what you got. What's the fruit in your life? If you preaching all this, let me see the fruit in your life. Where's the fruit? All right, can I get back on my subject now? All right, now where was I? Genesis 47. All right, now stay here with me now. Don't run out on me. I love you. And it's going to be all right. See, if you sit here, we're going to drive the devil out of you. Really, if you sit here, we're going to drive him out. Now, you're going to find that same demon been holding you back from part of your heritage, your prosperity. Same demon. We're going to drive him out because they hate me. I'm talking about the demons hate me. All right, so he goes, gets his father and them, brings them down there to Egypt, all right? I got you in Genesis 47, am I right about it? All right, how y'all doing? Y'all love me? Am I doing all right? Do I need to go through any more of that? This is that last group here. I can take my time with this group. All right, now, here's what happened. Lord have mercy. Genesis 47. All right, look at this. Look at what happened now. Did I read any of this yet?
No.
Okay. This is as Pharaoh is now speaking about Joseph and his father. Look at verse 5. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come down unto thee. And the land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. in the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? All right, now, when folk ask you that, y'all know I'm about to meddle now. When folk ask you that, most times, not all the time, there's some underlying motive for asking you. And in other words, it's not a real pure motive. It's to give them some kind of advantage. How old are you? And sometimes they don't ask you that, they ask you this. Well, now, that's how old is your oldest child? Now, watch this. They're trying to figure out how old you are. See, they don't really care how old you are. But there's an advantage to knowing this. Because either you're going to be too old or too young. You got how many kids? And how old is your oldest? You better hear what I'm saying. All of it's triggered by fear and the devil. Because many times people use your whatever in life to make them feel better about themselves. I feel better about myself because you worse off than me. And you ought to answer them sometimes. They say, well, how old is your youngest child? Oh, he's 100. I mean, just twist them up. You know, they don't know. But I want you to get this. I want you to understand that a lot of times people are looking for something to boost their esteem because it's all riding on putting somebody else down. Somebody else got to be worse than me, so I'm going to use this to boost my esteem. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So he asked him, how old are you? Because he looked like he was really old. This is my reading into this as I meditated. What's happening with that? Now, what I'm telling you out of this, don't you be ashamed of anything. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Whether you're old or young or whatever have you, especially in the corporate world, they make money off of that. They, you know, how old are you? You too old to be executive. You too young. You too, oh, they make money off of that. I'm telling you. But don't you be ashamed of anything. Say amen to this. I'm saying don't let anybody shame you, no matter what has gone on in your past. Because if they can shame you, they can draw you out of your faith. Say amen to that. You step up there and say anything you want to say. And listen, be bold and flat-footed about it. And don't care what they think. Because you are a child of the living God. Say amen to that. You are a seed of Abraham. Now, I'm telling you that, especially in black Christians. Come on, I'm gonna just use that for a minute. Don't be ashamed of your past. Your past is behind you. Your future is in front of you. Say amen to this. I know you messed up. God know you messed up. He cleaned you up. Now go forward and take it up. Boy, I got to talk about this. We're going to talk about righteousness before it's all over with. All right. So he asked him, how old are you? All right. Y'all still with me? I'm taking my time now. You don't mind if I take my time. I got 14 minutes and 31 seconds if you can hold on. Flow. Okay, I'm going to flow then. Verse 9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He's 130 years old. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So his daddy Isaac was 160 years old. His granddaddy David, or Abraham, was 175 years old when he died. So he is feeling a little bit embarrassed because he's not attained to the age of his fathers, and he's looking like he's looking. So we went back to Genesis 37 to see why he did this, why his age was showing like this. Come on back to Genesis chapter 37, and we'll see. Now y'all stay with me. You gonna stay with me? Yes. We'll see here that Joseph was mistreated by his brothers and sold as a slave. Then they took his coat, dipped it in blood of an animal, and took it to the father. Verse 31, and they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors and brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Lord have mercy. Now, wait a minute. Who told him that? No. You better come on and answer me right. Did the sons tell him that? Nope. How did he get that? All right. He was looking at the external circumstances. And with the enemy's help, I'm sure, planted in his mind the worst that could happen to his son. Watch this. Verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son how many days? Many days. Watch this. And all the sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. This his father wept for him. So how long was he going to mourn for his son? How long? He was going to mourn for his son until he died. So did he leave his faith? Oh, come on now. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is where I'm going now. Romans, put it up on the board. Romans chapter 3. And verse 3 says this, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Then it answers it. Come on. God forbid. Let God, come on, be true, and every man be a liar. So what is it saying? The evidence pointed that something had happened to Joseph. But the sons knew he wasn't dead. But the father assumed, based on circumstances, that he was. So he let go of his faith How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 17. This is when God finally made covenant with Abraham. Okay, you with me? Now, y'all got to know that what I'm giving you, the enemy doesn't want me to give you. So if you feel restless in your seat, tell the devil to go sit in the car until you get there. He does not want me to give you this, because I'm about to open your eyes to something. Look what it says. Verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee. This is God talking to Abraham. And kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Wait a minute. And thy seed. Well, wait a minute. Flip it up on the screen there, if you will. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Put it up on the screen for me, please. Christ has redeemed us. Who is us? Me and you. From the what? Curse of the law. Being made a what? Curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that what? Hangeth on a tree. Keep going. That the blessing of who? Abraham might come on who? The Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ. That we might what? Receive the what? Promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Put verse 29 up there, please. 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Now, are you Christ? Then you're Abraham's who? It says that what God promised Abraham was not only for him, but for his seed. That's you and me. Usins. You and I. All right? Then let's go to Deuteronomy and chapter 7, please. There's just one place. Bless his holy name. Now, I'm going to show you something. Verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Uh-oh, here we go. And he will love thee. Say, God loves me. And bless thee and multiply thee. Come on. He will also bless the, come on, fruit of your womb. Keep going. The fruit of your land. The corn and the wine and the oil, the increase of your kind, that's a type of cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, thou shalt be what? Blessed above how many people? All people, and there shall not be male, keep on, or female, keep going, barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord shall will take away from thee, keep going, all sickness. I'll stop right there. What didn't Jacob do? He didn't go back to the covenant. He didn't go back to ask the truth. Because the truth is, nothing could take his son. Amen. Amen. Just like the truth is, nothing can take yours. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, how does it happen By faith. Faith comes how? By hearing. So you're gonna live supernaturally. Other people who are out of the covenant may have some situations. But as for you and your household, come on now. This is an answer to the mothers who are sitting in churches who their sons have something that's happened to them. This is the answer. Because if the enemy even has them in captivity, he's got to give them up. You don't need to be afraid that your son is going to get this or shot or give or stuff. You don't need to be, don't trip with it anymore. No. God has a promise for you. Come on now. Notice no barren. That means women married who want a child, it is illegal for your womb to be stopped up. You better hear what I'm telling you. That's why when Jesus walked, he healed them all. He healed everybody. He was operating under this covenant. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who has been kept captive these 18 years, be loosed? Why? Because she's a daughter. And you are a daughter. And anything in that covenant that's for you, devil's got to turn you. You don't have to fear anymore about your kids going on this or that. God's going to honor your faith. Say amen. I'm talking about you check the history books and look at Israel in the times that he was in the Old Testament. There was no barren. There were no premature deaths. Even when they fought a war, here they fought the war, fought Jericho, and nobody got hurt. The only time somebody got hurt is when they broke the covenant. They didn't pay the tithe. Tide gonna put something around you. He'll rebuke the devourer. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Now look here at over at Ezekiel, put it up there, 22 and verse 30. He says this, I saw, put it up there on the board, Ezekiel 22 and 30, please, praise God, wake up, hallelujah, put it up there on the board, Ezekiel 22 and 30, Ezekiel 22 and 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the head and stand in the gap before me for the land that I would not destroy it, but I couldn't find one. Well, he can find one now because we're intercessors. We're standing in the gap for our children. Say amen to that. No, devil, I plead the blood over my child. I speak mercies over my child. Get your hand off my child. Put the scripture up there in Acts chapter 16, please. And put it up there, the one we went to this morning. Put it up there. Acts chapter 16. Look what it says. But Paul cried with a loud voice. This is when Paul and them were in prison. See, he didn't have to worry about nothing because Paul knew his rights. He knew his rights as a kingdom citizen. He knew that if he got in trouble, God would deliver him. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them. It didn't say the Lord might. It didn't say, I sure hope the Lord show up on time. It said the Lord will deliver them. Paul prayed and then started praising God at midnight. All of a sudden, the whole jail shook. Paul knew that God was on his side. And God is the judge. He decides who wins or loses, not your opponent. Your opponent can't tell you who's gonna win. God tells you who's gonna win. Look what it says up there. It says at midnight, Paul and Silas put the same verse up there that you had up there the first time that we spoke about Acts 16, please. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself what? No harm. We are all here. I ain't got to run out nowhere. We are all here. I'm coming in here to get you saved. Look at the next verse. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the man asking the question. Next verse. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Come on, see, don't leave that out. I said, don't leave that out. I sure hope this boy gets saved. Hope, he's gonna be saved. The whole house gonna be saved. But he listening to all that kind of music. That don't make no difference. I got a covenant promise from God. This boy is gonna be saved. Are you following what I'm doing? I'm saying here now. Now turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And look what it says, put it on the board. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what to you? To build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's you. This is your stuff. No longer is the enemy going to come and put some kind of thing on you or your family. It's not going to happen anymore. If Jacob would have gone back to the covenant and said, wait a minute, a beast got him? Well, God, you're going to have to raise him from the dead. Because I'm going to believe the word. And you know what Jesus did? Here's Jesus walking. A man named Jairus said, come to my house. My daughter is deathly sick. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. On the way, this woman came. She stopped him, touched his garment, got healed, and sat down and testified. That could have taken an hour. You know, Baptist woman and all. And I'm just kidding. And so what happened? Next thing you know, he said, daughter, hear the words now. Daughter. He didn't have to call her daughter. That wasn't his daughter. Daughter, thy faith made you whole. And watch this. Then the runners came from Jairus' house and said, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has already expired. What did Jesus tell Jairus? Shh. Don't say nothing. If you don't say nothing, you'll get your daughter back. Because you got a covenant promise.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all following what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm saying this is our time. Now I'm preaching on all this.
Yes.
And next time I want to show you how to meditate the word. Because sometimes you can hear it, but it doesn't change you. But when you meditate it, Lord have mercy, you start talking different. Start thinking different. So meditation transforms your thinking. And as a man thinking, so is it. Did you get something out of this? All right. If you will, just keep your seats just a minute if you're here.